The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Welcome back to the Your Safe Space podcast, hosted by me, Adele Marie. This podcast, just like the title says, is made for you, where you can spill the tea, confess your secrets, or get some big sister advice. Coming up on air today, what next after you find yourself getting a divorce in your late 20s, and what to do about your girlfriend's guy best friend. Let's get into the show. Hello, happy April, everyone. Happy new month. What the hell? This year is flying. I can't believe that we're well and truly in April. Honestly, I was trying to think of an April Fool's joke for you guys. And then I was like, no, don't do that. Don't be an idiot. But I have been loving seeing all of the brand stuff on Monday, which was yesterday. I've been loving seeing the content because I think some brands were really creative. So I was like, you know what, Adele? Let's just not prank the listeners, but let's just get back into regular routine. So I am back in your ears today. Thank you so much for coming back. If you're a new listener, thank you for tuning in. If you're an old listener, thank you for sticking around. Let's get right into the show. Now, before I give you the tea from today, we actually have a follow-up from an older episode. So the episode follow-up is from the one when you go back to your ex, and our listener has come through. It was the confession in that episode, and I don't know if you guys remember it, but a quick recap. It was where the listener had a pregnancy scare, and then her and her boyfriend were not aligned on the situation. It was all hypothetical, where he wanted to her to get an abortion. She also said, if we need to see what's actually happening before we make any decisions, but I'd like us to be on the same page. And yeah, I gave advice saying, I think you need to have a bigger chat about it because there might be some things creeping in here that may be skewing or just making the situation. It is an emotional situation. So I gave that advice and the listener has come back and she says this: "Hi Adele, I love you and you did my question on the episode when you go back to your ex. I love you too. I was the one that had the pregnancy scare. I wanted to give you an update that I am indeed not pregnant and listening to your advice helped me calm myself and was the outside perspective I needed. I found that I did actually think that I was truly scared that this meant he didn't want kids at all again. And once I realized this, I was able to explore what it meant to me if this was the case and how to approach it with my partner. I was able to have a discussion with him about how I was feeling, about the entire thing, and about our family planning for the future. I'm really grateful for your advice because we had such a great talk and we have set family planning for a few years down the track and we are firmly back to condoms until then. Thank you, Adele." And I love this. I'm really glad that you guys were able to get there together. As I said, communication solves most issues and I'm really happy that you got on the same page. I also know the situation was a little bit up in the air and a little bit hypothetical, so I'm really happy that you've gotten clarity there and I'm glad you both dug a little bit deeper and got to the bottom of what was going on. And I love to hear that you are back on track with family planning for the future and that condoms are back on. Iconic. And if you have a confession, please come and submit that for us. I'm about to read out today's one. I also have to be honest and let you guys know there was somebody who submitted a confession about a car loan. That's all I got in the title because I accidentally deleted your confession in the Google Sheet and I tried to figure out how to get it back, but I couldn't. So if you submitted a car loan confession, can you please resubmit your confession? I know that's very niche and very specific. If you're not the listener who submitted that, but you have a car loan confession, feel free to also submit that. I would, love to hear from you guys. All right, let's get into today's tea. All right, guys, this is a long one. Buckle up. "Hi, Adele. I just recently started listening to your podcast and I'm absolutely loving it. Thank you so much. We love having new listeners here. I appreciate you being here. My confession is I am 28 and I'm getting a divorce. A bit of background, my husband and I have been together for 7 years. We have been married for 2.5 years. We are both 28. About 8 months ago, I started having thoughts of not wanting to be with my husband and I honestly just thought it was a phase. I was hoping it was a phase and then I would get through it and I would just move past these feelings. We had also gone away on an overseas trip for 6 weeks, which was kind of a band-aid. I didn't really think about it while we were away because we were so busy traveling overseas. But then when we came back, I felt like the whole world just crumbled in my hands. I could not stop thinking about how much I didn't want to be with this man and how much I was not in love with him anymore. I don't know when this happened. I feel like I just woke up and realized that I wasn't in love with him anymore. I would get so much anxiety coming home from work. I was constantly crying whenever I had a moment to myself, and this went on for months and he had no idea. It got so bad, I couldn't even stand him seeing me naked, and our home life was so tense that we barely spoke when we were home together because I just couldn't stand to be around him. When we first got together as well, I was positive that I wanted kids. It was a 100% thing. There was no doubt in my mind. And then as I've gotten closer to turning 30, the more and more I've realized that I don't actually think I want kids. This was also a massive reason for us to split. We had discussions before us splitting up about me not wanting kids, and he said that if I didn't want kids, he couldn't be with me because that was a non-negotiable. And it has always been a non-negotiable, and I knew that entering into the relationship. We have now been separated for a month, and I barely miss him. The only times I seem to feel sad about it is when I think about how good our life used to be when we were together. I felt so guilty that I don't feel the need to message him or check up on him. I'm just happy being by myself and doing my own thing. It's not that he's a terrible man, because he's the most amazing man that I've met. He's so kind and gentle and patient and loving, and has always done everything in his power to provide for me and make me feel loved, wanted, and safe. But it just never seemed to be enough, and I don't know if there would have been anything that he could have done to save our marriage. This last month, I've been the happiest I've been in quite some time. I know that he's still holding out hope that I will want to get back together, even though I've told him multiple times that I don't see us getting back together. I just thought I wouldn't be heading into my late 20s and getting a divorce, but I know I've done the right thing by calling it quits. However, I can't help but wonder and worry that I won't find someone who will love me like he loves me. Or what if I do decide in a couple of years that I do actually want kids and then I've got no one to have kids with? I hate how women have this pressure to have kids and we are constantly told that we have a countdown on our time because then it puts so much unnecessary pressure on us. And let's all just take a deep breath. This listener, I hope you feel better typing that out and sending it through. It sounds like you have been going through it, like fully going through it. I just want to give you a hug, and I appreciate so much that you felt like you could come in here and share this with me and share this with us, and I'm really grateful. And you probably didn't want advice, and I'm not giving you advice, but I'm just going to give you my 2 cents. But I want to say well done, because you wrote in here that you know you did the right thing, and based on what you sent to me, and based on the context that you gave me in this confession, I also believe you did the right thing. And I'm saying well done because being very close to divorce myself, you guys know my parents are getting a divorce or in the process of it. It is a very difficult process. It's a very expensive process. It's a very emotionally draining process. And watching it happen made me realize that this is something that makes some people never make that choice. And in some ways, I can see how staying is the easier option. And sometimes sticking to the status quo and not upsetting everything and not making a hassle can be seen as the easier option than going through the hassle that is the separation and that is the divorce. And I just want to say to this listener, your feelings are so valid. You did title your confession though, 28 and getting a divorce with a question mark. And you also said, I just thought I wouldn't be heading into my late 20s and getting a divorce. And I feel like I need to tell you, I hope you don't have any shame for getting a divorce. And if you do have feelings of shame, please acknowledge them and then ask yourself what you are feeling the shame for. And then remind yourself that everyone's path is unique. There isn't a one size fits all for anyone. It is perfectly okay to prioritize what you want. It is okay to prioritize your happiness. It is okay to prioritize your own desires, even if that means deviating from what society expects of you and deviating from society's standards and what is the norm society has come a long way, I feel. And I think the idea of divorce has less shame now in modern 2024 as it did, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I also know that's not the case for every culture out there or every family or every dynamic. But I just wanted to flag that with the listener in case they were having a negative internalized view of it. They also said that they felt a bit of guilt and for feeling okay with things, which I think is normal. I think when you are the one who instigates the separation or the breakup or the end of the relationship, you can feel a bit of guilt. Sometimes you can feel regret. Sometimes you can feel doubt. These are all normal feelings to be feeling. In fact, I would be worried if you didn't feel any of that stuff as well. I'm so glad that you can label them and I hope that you can acknowledge them and honor them. Of course, you're feeling some sadness too, which is normal too. You've got the end of your marriage and you had some good times and you did get married to this person. So there was love there at one point. And, you know, when you get into a relationship, you don't necessarily go into it knowing, oh, this is going to end and I'm going to be okay when it ends. Like, no, you have full good intentions for it. And you know, you pour your best and 100% into the relationship. And you can be still sad about that ending because, yes, it can be both things. You can be relieved about the decision. You can be happy with your decision, but you can also be sad about the end of the good times. Relationships are emotionally heavy. So I hope that you are doing a lot of self-care and I hope that you are being gentle with yourself. And then my last two cents on this, and then I'll get into the question of the show. It is also really common after a breakup or a separation to start questioning your future. The reason for that is you are kind of forced into this unknown. It's new territory. It's uncharted territory. Everything you knew and everything that felt safe and familiar and normal to you is gone. You're building a new life, a new dynamic. And so, of course, there are going to be thoughts that creep in about you not finding somebody to love or not finding someone who loves you like he did. Or what if you change your mind about kids? And what does this scary future look like? But I just want to remind you that you are so young, so young, and you have so much time. I've spoken about this many times here. Time is a made-up construct. This is a little bit jarring, but it is a good way to think about it because the truth is you and I, we both don't know how much time we have. I hope that we live long and happy and healthy lives, but when you actually ask yourself, how much time do I have? You don't know. You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what's possible. You don't know how it ends. You don't know what technology and science might come out with in 2 years' time. I might die in an accident tomorrow. Touch wood. I hope I don't. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know how much time you have left. The timeline is made up. It's not real. And so I choose to believe that instead of my time running out, which I know that it is every single day, but I'm right on time and every day is a blessing. And all I can do is focus on the day that I'm in right now. Yes, I can have goals. Yes, I can look forward to the future. Yes, there are things that I want, but you are running your own race. You're on time. You have plenty of it. I hope you have plenty of it. And there is still so much out there for you to explore. There is new relationships, new people that will come into your life, new changes, new environments, new things you're going to learn about yourself, and your future is going to evolve in ways that you just have to wait and see. You are also only a month separated, which is not a lot of time. So it is normal for you to be having these feelings. It is normal for you to be freaking out a little bit. I highly recommend journaling. I highly recommend talking to someone about it, whether that's a friend, a family member, or a professional to help you kind of categorize your thoughts. I think these are valid thoughts, but I also think they are being triggered by the new environment and the breakup itself. Also, keep the focus on you, keep the focus on your interests, keep the focus on rebuilding your life and staying present and reminding yourself that you can cross these bridges when you get there. Because right now, unless you are wanting to go and find a relationship right now, I wouldn't be focusing on finding a new person to date. And unless you want to have a baby right now, I wouldn't be focusing on, you know, looking at freezing your eggs or going to see a fertility doctor or anything like that. So be gentle, be kind to yourself, and just take one step at a time as you start to adjust to this new normal. Good luck. We are wishing you all the best. I am going to put a little call out to any other listeners. Have you gone through a divorce in your late 20s? Have you gone through a divorce in your 30s? If you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s and you listen to this podcast and you've been through a separation, come and give this listener some words of wisdom, okay? And as always, if you guys have a confession, please submit that. The link will be in the show notes. All right, guys, as always, I am not a qualified professional. And of course, we do get deep, but take my advice with a grain of salt. And if you do need professional help, please see the show notes. All right, our question of the week is this. Hey, Adele, I'm currently in a 3-year plus relationship. My girlfriend of 2 years is definitely someone who I can see myself spending the rest of my life with. There is just one lingering issue that I'm stuck on. Look, I'm not one to judge people or their past, as I have a past just as much as anyone else. However, my partner has a guy best friend who has always made me question a few things and overthink. I have asked my girlfriend a few times about the past between the two of them and wondered if anything had happened between the two of them. I was reassured on multiple occasions that there was absolutely no history there. And so I settled in and I did not allow this to hinder me or our relationship. Fast forward 3 years and I recently found out that they have had a romantic past and have slept together on multiple occasions. There has apparently been no foul play while we have been together, but he has always been around and he has even stayed over while I've been away on some occasions. My girlfriend and I have discussed moving forward and what actions to take. I'm not the type of person to automatically say, I want him gone or it's me or him, as I do respect their friendship. However, it is hard to get the idea of them out of my head sometimes, and it is starting to affect me in the background. I've spoken to my partner a couple of times about these feelings, but I'm not feeling any change or us moving forward. Again, I am not one to say that he has to go, but it's moving towards that point where it's just a bit too much. And oh my goodness, listener two, I hope you're okay as well. We have a deep episode today. I picked deep confessions and questions today. Is everyone going through it? Is everyone okay right now? This is a lot. I have many thoughts. I'm going to give you a hug too. Firstly, I don't blame you at all. And I don't blame you for feeling like it's getting a bit too much. You are also a much better person than me. And you are also far more patient than me. I was expecting more of a reaction from you for the lying. And maybe there was more of a reaction and you just left it out. But when I read for the last 3 years that you were being lied to by your girlfriend about their history, fuck. That would have been a tough pill to swallow. I would not have handled that like you. I really dislike that, truthfully. I don't know why she lied. And maybe you've gotten to the bottom of this. Maybe you have spoken about it. But the fact that she lied then makes me wonder about their current dynamic. Because it's like, if you didn't lie about it, and if it wasn't sus, why would you lie? Because I think my reaction and my advice would be totally different if she was honest. If she had said to you, hey, babe, yes, this is my best friend, Bob. We're just purely platonic. We did sleep together like 10 years ago, but we were young and dumb and nothing has ever happened since. And I don't see him like that. He doesn't see me like that. It's purely a friendship. You could have then made up your mind about what you were comfortable with at the time. You could have set some boundaries at the start. You could have also chosen to not engage in that relationship if you didn't want to. So she's got a red flag for lying. And she's also got a red flag for the lack of change in her behavior. So that's two red flags. I hope she apologized about the lying. I hope she did. I really genuinely do. But what behavior change is she taking? Because an apology is one thing, but an apology without change behavior is nothing. To me, you need to have change behavior. What is she doing to make it right? What is she doing to give you comfort? What is she doing to make you feel safe? What is she doing to make you feel like a repair attempt has been made? I am probably being a bit harsh. So I do love that there has been frequent communication on it. I think continue having those conversations. You did express at the start that you can see yourself spending the rest of your life with her. So I think you do need to have some more conversations. I think you do need to talk about it. I think you need to definitely let her know how this is affecting you and impacting you. I also think you maybe need to even change your communication approach, because I think that you can let your girlfriend know that you respect her friendship with Bob. Let's just call him Bob. We'll keep calling him Bob for the sake of this podcast episode. But you can let her know that you respect the friendship, and at the same time, the history between them is causing you discomfort. and the history between them is causing you insecurity. Both things can be true. I don't think that because you respect the friendship, it then means that you're okay with them having, you know, fucked in the past. But I also feel like you need to establish some clearer boundaries and you actually need to articulate these and stand up for yourself a little bit more. I agree. I don't love ultimatums. I don't love making demands in a relationship. I think if you can exist and communicate with your partner and not have to do things like that, amazing. But sometimes you have to discuss what behaviors and interactions are acceptable with you. And I don't necessarily think you have to then be like black and white about it and say, oh, this is an ultimatum or this is a demand I'm making. Because yes, to have a successful, healthy relationship, you need love. Sure, amazing. But you also need compromise. You also need communication. You also need respect for your partner. You also need to have your partner's back. There's lots of things that you need to make a relationship work, to make a relationship healthy, to make a relationship last. So I think you need to be clearer in articulating what it is that you need and want from your partner so that you can then give your partner a chance to meet those boundaries, to then hopefully rebuild the trust and create that sense of security in the relationship. My advice to you is to talk to somebody outside of the relationship, a friend that you trust, a family member that you trust. Get really clear on some boundaries that are fair and reasonable, but ones that actually make you feel better so that you can then go to your girlfriend and say, this is what is going to make me feel better and this is what I need from you. And then your girlfriend has that chance to either step up and play ball with your boundaries and get on board, or she's going to turn around and say, well, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. I am giving you that advice to have that conversation and to try and fix it first, purely because you did say you want to spend the rest of your life with her. My advice is very different though, if she is being dismissive of you, if she is avoiding accountability, if she is not listening to you, if she's not hearing you, if she's not giving you enough reassurance, all those sorts of things. If that is the case, yeah, I think you're well within your right to really assess if this is something you want to continue or not. And so I think you have two options. I think you can try to make it work and try to find a way forward together in a new way that is actually going to give you guys a chance of moving forward, because it sounds like you might have just been going around in circles and nothing has changed. So you're still feeling terrible and just having the same conversations. Or if you still want to make it work and you guys actually can't make it work together, I would recommend possibly looking at couples counseling or couples therapy, something like that, where you have an impartial third person to kind of bring you together and try to help you see the way forward. Great option if you don't want to throw in the towel and give up. So that's option one. Or the other option is you reassess the relationship and you consider a new way up. Is this really healthy? Is this really what I want? Is this fulfilling for me? Is my partner meeting my needs? Is my partner respecting my needs? Is my partner respecting my boundaries? Is my partner putting in what I need to make this work long-term? I think it's okay if this is an option too, especially if you're unable to move past these feelings of mistrust, and especially if you're unable to move past this insecurity. And if you can't communicate and establish those boundaries and make it work together, then what is the point of being together? I'm very curious to hear what our listeners think, because yeah, I also want to follow up. This listener, if you're listening, please give us a follow up. Let me know what you've done. Let me know what's going on. I am sorry you're going through it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Please keep going. You guys, I'll pop some polls up over on Instagram. Go and vote there what you think listener number two should do. And if you guys have any questions for me, please let me know. The link will be in the notes as well. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please follow us over on Instagram and TikTok and join the Facebook group. Tag us on your stories when you listen. My @ is @ Adele Marie. The podcast is @ Your Safe Space Pod. Give us a rating on Spotify or Apple and tell someone you know about the podcast too. All right, I'll see you guys next time. Bye. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.